Testing. One, two, three.
Again, it's... Well, again, I accepted this responsibility because of Ruth Mitchell, because of my friendship with her, and it's an interesting project, but it seemed rather remote, and it is highly Catholic. It gets one into, really, the Catholic world. We're dealing with Catholic organizations, not mainly, but we're dealing directly with Italy, which has been fun. And primarily, our target was aimed at Catholic institutions. But again, it's a whole new learning experience. Now, if I thought I knew the ethnic community in Pittsburgh, I surely know the Catholics. I know the abbot, the archabbot of St. Vincent's, and I know Bishop Kennard in Greensburg, and I know the important leading Catholic lay women in town, and it's really been fun. But the project is exciting. The promotion of it, publicity for it, won't break until the end of the month. The book is at the printers. I've also learned a great deal about printing and what goes into a rare book and the publishing and binding of it. We have the book distributed as gifts to 390 libraries in the country. The first 500 books are numbered. 390 are at libraries. The others are personal copies, which a person is entitled to have if she or he gives a gift to a library. We are involved in this project with three other universities. We're involved with FASER. We're involved with the University of California. We're involved with Mount Holyoke. And we're involved with the University of Indiana. FASER because they have the stained glass window of Elena Scopia in their library, and they're the first people who ever knew about her. Pittsburgh, because of her being the first woman graduate, her face is on the frieze of the Italian Room at the University of Pittsburgh. Mount Holyoke was was the first women's college in this country, and the University of California has their junior year abroad in Padua. The University of Indiana is the first co-ed university that admitted was the first co-ed university. So we're all tied up with the women's thing. And the International Year of the Woman has featured it, and since it's going on for 10 years, it's going to feature her more once her tercentenary is observed. There will be a lot of publicity about the book the 1st of May. There are 500 more copies to be distributed that are not numbered altogether. The limited edition is 1,000 copies. So we've been in touch with lots of people all over the country. Lots of letters, lots of correspondence. And the local Pittsburgh committee has been an interesting one.
How do you view this particular kind of role as in comparison to the other kinds of community roles, let's say the Jewish involvement? Would you say you would prefer to focus in on one, or you have preferred one over the other over the years?
As you can see, I'm very ambivalent about this. I feel
it's
terribly important that we are active in the Jewish community, and it's really our primary concern, especially in the last decade. Yet we're living in America as American Jews, and I think we have an obligation to our general community. I think we have an obligation for service, and I think we have an obligation to know our general community. And I feel that there are some of us who prefer to put all of our time and energy into Jewish community work, fine. But those of us who feel torn, and it is a tearing yourself into pieces kind of situation. Those of us who feel torn, I think we have to do as much as we can in both areas. And I think one enriches the other. I am sure that the people I meet respect me more, knowing a Jewish person, feel more kindly toward Jewish people if they get to know you better and know your interests and activity. I'm sure there's less resentment if they feel that you are giving some of your time and energy and money to non-Jewish causes rather than being completely a parochial. I don't see how we cannot.
Have you ever felt, you alluded a little bit when you said you were made to feel that you had to go into more if you were responsible at the time. Have you ever felt put upon to do certain things for the community?
Oh, certainly.
Do you ever feel that other people were pushing their responsibilities onto your shoulders?
Yes, I do. For instance, in Planned Parenthood, I am off the board because we're a rotating board, and I'm not going back in because I feel that there's so many people in the community who should be taking this responsibility. The Jewish input in that organization, even though my number was small, by a corresponding ratio to the number of Jewish people in the city, and those and what they've done has been very great. I do really feel that it's the responsibility of many.
How do you feel about the number of women today that are saying, well, I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to go back to work, and let somebody else do the community service involvement?
I don't buy that completely, because from my point of view, I think volunteer service is terribly important. I don't see the value, but it's in itself, it's an individual thing. I think the younger people don't realize that when they go out into the world for a job, as it were, it's not going to be all that self-fulfilling. Not everybody's going to get a great, exciting job. Every job has its dull aspects as well as its excitement. And not every job, you're not living on the peak of excitement all the time. And if that's what they're looking for, this self-fulfillment, I think they're going to be terribly disappointed. And somehow it seems to me that one can manage one's family responsibilities and family life a little better as a volunteer. Also, getting satisfaction from the service that one gets. I don't put a dollar mark importance to everything I do. I just don't happen to feel that's important. But then that's maybe from my generation point of view.
Well, how do you do your own accomplishments, your successes, or your failures?
Well, I do feel that my activities may have lacked a certain direction. I've been all over the lot, as it were. And it's very difficult to sit down, and I think maybe it would be more satisfying to be able to sit down and say, well, I'm only going to go in this one direction. See what I can accomplish in this one direction. But my life just didn't work out that way. Things came about that sounded interesting.
So you didn't.
I was drawn to people, wanted to be involved with certain people. And as I said, I never really took time to investigate what the job might mean, the ultimate possibilities, and worry about that. I took it on face value. Many times I was disappointed, and most of the time it was much more involved than I wanted it to be. But as I look back, I had a learning experience in every case. I never felt anything I did was a waste of time. And certainly the people I've met, I have treasured. And I probably would do the same thing all over again in the same way.
Possibly, probably enrich their lives through your involvement.
It's always a give and take, you know. There are two ways. My son likes to tease me and always says, well, it keeps you off the streets. No, it's not very important, but it keeps you off the streets.
What about your children, Marcella? Could you say, you raised your children in a similar way you were raised, or did
No, I would say not. I would say they were more protected.
More protected?
Mm-hmm. I would say they were more protected. Not by choice, but maybe by environment. As I said, when I was a child, I felt that I was given more responsibility than I was in a position to give my children. I had responsibilities, you know, in the store, as it were, that my children never experienced. And I wasn't driven anywhere. We walked everywhere. I had to commute from Corvallis to Pittsburgh. I was on the train as a youngster by myself. I got to know my way around. I just sometimes marvel at the amount of liberty my parents gave me. You know, my mother was involved in business. My father was involved in business. It might have been that's just the way it was. And in order to take advantage of some of these things in Pittsburgh, I couldn't be driven there all the time. I had to get up and go myself.
But you played a different role as a mother.
Well, I felt that we always tried very hard not to, quote unquote, spoil our children by giving them material things to excess, and but just by living where we were, by being where we were. I mean, they never had to work, and they weren't driven to school when they went to Whiteman, but Alan was in a carpool to Shadyside. They were very self-sufficient kids, Alan particularly. I mean, they never had to have things planned for them. But they were living in a community exposed to lots of Jewish people. Jewish children went to temple, you know, from the very beginning. Went to nursery school. I never went to nursery school. Went to, when they were three, they were in that program at Tech, that special program. And then went to nursery school, kindergarten. Well, I never did. Their schooling was much better. Certainly had more advantages. Nan went to Winchester from the ninth grade on. I think they went to better colleges. They had a very superior education. My son went to Yale and Harvard Law School. And I think educated in the very best fashion that could be. I don't think I had. I was always happy to have gone to Pitt. And as I said, I felt the advantages of being in Pittsburgh were great. But I'm sure that I wasn't given the best education available to me in the country at the time. I feel my children have gotten.
Well, how would you view the Pittsburgh Jewish life today and its place in the community?
Well, I think we're a stronger Jewish community than we've ever been before. I think every American Jewish community is, largely because of the world scene in Israel, but Pittsburgh is particularly well organized and particularly strong. And I think we have a young group of people, young marrieds and young people coming up who have a great interest in establishing Jewish and maintaining Jewish identity, regardless of the amount of assimilation that's going on. I think, on the other hand, we also have a much more keenly and deeply felt sense of Jewish identity than we've ever had before. I did not have this as I was growing up. I was Jewish, and I was proud to be Jewish, but it never occurred to me that I wouldn't be. I have a non-Jewish maiden name. And as Marcella Layton, I was placed in a position where I learned a great many things about my community and my fellow students who did not know I was Jewish. So I learned the score very easily, you see. I knew that there was a great deal of anti-Semitism and prejudice, which I had not felt in the Corey office area. I learned that when I got to college. The people didn't know I was Jewish particularly. I think today the average youngster is better prepared to meet his Judaism, his problems of living in an integrated community.
Do you observe religious observances in your home, mm-hmm. and have you always?
Yes, in, I would say, not a minimal fashion or a maximal, I would say like a median, we observe the holidays. We do not keep kosher. We have a lot of family, a great deal of family feeling. We have a family club on my side, and we have a family club on my husband's side, so we have a lot of family. It's very much surrounded by family. And I must say the greatest disappointment of my life is that I have not been able to pass on this feeling to my children to the extent I would wish. I don't think either one of my children has a feeling of peoplehood.
I wonder why that happens.
I wish I knew. I think some of it's our fault. My husband does not have that feeling, particularly. He could, truthfully, I think, even though he would be the first to be offended by a non-Jewish situation or remark or slur, he has often said that he would not be upset if either of the children married out of the faith. I would be upset to the extent that I would be sad, and I would think that they were making life more difficult for themselves. Luckily, neither one of them did. And we always felt that our children would go the way of the spouse. Nan and her husband have no deep feeling, but they will raise their children as Jewish children. They're in a community that professionally is highly Jewish, which is great, because Palm Springs, the medical profession, is highly Jewish. They do not have a sense of peoplehood, and they don't identify with the state of Israel as I do. And largely, and neither does Alan, but he has married a girl who is identified, and I'm sure that will all work out. I think it's largely because, frankly, their temple experience was very bad. In the years that they went to Rosh Hashanah, never shortchanged, terribly, and we did not do enough at home to reinforce that. That's the only thing I can see. We were strongly identified. They knew I was very active in the community. We had grandparents. They had grandparents. We observed ritual. But we did not somehow reinforce their poor temple experience. I think we depended too much on the fact that they were supposed to be learning history and philosophy and a deep feeling of roots at temple, which they did not. And as I look back, I can think of a lot of things we could have done that we didn't do, that we took for granted. And that's the only way. Their Jewish experiences at college were very bad. They attempted to go to a Hillel experience, and in both colleges were very bad.
Where did your daughter go?
She went to Wisconsin. It was a very bad Hillel experience. Alan's experience at Yale with Hillel was very bad. The kind of kids they grew up with were not identified to any extent. They both had a lot of non-Jewish friends. They never were involved in a group. They never took comparative religion at college. Alan majored in history, and he feels that he has a very much more objective, well, he does have a more objective view than I, but a much more profound view of the Eastern European Jewry, because he majored in Eastern European history. He has an intellectual approach to it, but feeling, no deep-seated feeling. I think it will come. I think it will grow with their children. I really do. I think it has to. We will try to reinforce it in every way we can. But I would say that I think we did a bit.
How does your family, do you have a little... Mm-hmm. How has your family felt, your husband and your children, throughout the years of your being so involved in the community?
I'm not sure. I think there were times that I may have been too involved. My husband, I think, well, I couldn't have done it without his cooperation. In the years that I was busy, he was busy, he was an obstetrician, and his hours were very difficult. And he was not available for many of the things that fathers and mothers do with children. I would take the children on their spring trips. You know, I went to Niagara Falls with the kids, I went to Washington with the kids, I went to New York. He was just not available. I went to Beach Haven in the summer. He came down for a weekend or something like that. So, because of the nature of his profession, I really, I learned to carve the roast and serve the wine and things of that nature, because most of the time, he didn't show up for dinner. And there were a good 20 years of that when he was terribly involved. So that he's always been very pleased and very proud of what I've done and very cooperative in the sense that he approved. The children tease me about it, you see. And Nan, my daughter Nan, grew up feeling she was never going to do what I did. She just didn't want to be that involved in that programmed. And she always said that through high school and through college. She was a more private person than I, more interested in the arts and in other things. She is now a mother of two. She's getting her PhD, going 50 miles one day a week to Riverside campus, getting her PhD in comparative literature. She's keeping a household with very little help. She's active in a Women's Aid of the Desert Society. She is doing all kinds of things,
she's really
which
doing.
I am so thrilled with, because she said she just would never be that. She plays tennis 3 times a week. She takes a lesson once a week. She is so programmed. I just have to smile. Because this is what she was never going to do. She got her master's when they were in Cleveland, and she's really keen on this PhD. She may not, her level of interest may not be so much community work, but she is getting the degree in hopes that she might teach in the community someday. So that she is a person who is not just sitting at home, which I don't misunderstand me. I think it's fine, too, if a gal gets all her satisfaction in doing things at home and doing things with her hands and with her children. That's just great. But she's programmed.
It rubbed off. What do you see for yourself in the future, other than the book and the Federation activities?
Well, I don't know, Flory. I am hoping to taper off somewhat because my husband now has a lot of time. He is at the office just minimal time in the morning, 2 or 3 hours, doing just infertility work. He has a lot of time. And he has hobbies. He's a guy who does work with his hands. He's doing beautiful enameling. We have a kiln downstairs. Now he enjoys the pool and we play golf. And I don't want to tie myself down to things that require my being busy in other directions. But I think this is a rethinking time for me. I could not pull out completely. I would be unhappy. I like to be involved. I don't really know.
Do you do a lot of traveling?
No. Not so much anymore. We have traveled a lot.
Has that been a broadening experience?
Oh, no. It always is. My husband has been involved with this International Society for the Study of Sterility. And every 3 years they've had interesting, fascinating meetings abroad. And we have been to Russia, Sweden, Tokyo. And we didn't go to South America last year. No, we would not go to the Argentine because of the unrest. So we've had those experiences, and we've been to Israel twice, once with this international meeting, and 21 years ago on our own. I think we both lost our taste for that kind of travel, and it's sort of no fun to go to Europe anymore, unless you have a specific place that you're crazy about. I would personally like to do a little traveling in this country. Now that our children live in Palm Springs, we go out there twice a year, and that's about it. My husband has a lot of free time at home, and he can't get away for more than about 2 weeks. I would like to see more of the country there in our spots.
Did you take the children with you on any of these trips?
We've had several very nice trips with the kids. When they were, Alan was 15 and Nan was 13, we went to Europe. We did the Scandinavian countries with them and in England. We took a trip west with them, which was a very extensive trip. We've gone 6 weeks. and when they were in their teens after camp years. Those were the two big trips we took. Both children have traveled a lot on their own. They've really been everywhere now that I think of it. Of course, that was different from my youth. We went to McKeesport. That was a big deal in those days. But they have, as all children their age who've had advantages, have traveled a lot. Alan was one of the experiments in international living kids when he was 16, and he lived in Luxembourg for a summer. And he's been back many times, college years with friends. Nan has traveled a lot, and once she and Peter were married, they had time to travel, and they traveled a lot. So they've been to Europe many times. I haven't been to the Far East, but we
have. That about over. Wonderful. Is there anything else that you would like to add for?
Gee, I don't think so. I'm just curious, though. You can tell me later what you do with all this information, how you put it all together.
We don't do anything with it.
Just compile.
Is this, is there a professional sociologist that puts it together?
I really don't know.
I mean,
Marion
Cameron.
Marion Cabot and